Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, here they come at 844-326-3663. If you just tuned in and you're not sure what's happening, well, Tolos, it is 4 o'clock and it's Wednesday, which means the Upset Picks Challenge is open. Get those games in as fast as you can at 844-326-3663. Diesel and I, we need your name, the game, and the spread. We don't want to hear the excuses about how you're not doing well in the challenge and you're trying to chase points. Yeah, 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 blah, blah, blah. We need 45 entries in this very first segment of the show today. The Upset Picks Challenge is open, where we're looking for you, Tolos, to send in your name, your game, and the spread. If you have not played or participated in the challenge brought to you by Ingles Markets before, it's very simple. You're looking for an underdog this weekend to outright win the game, and if it hits, that amount of points gets added to a season-long tally, a rolling total, if you will. And on the text line, we need three things, Diesel: your name, the game, and the spread. Boomer Bill always provides a perfect example of what we need. He gets in, and this is an example of what you Tolos need to do. Boomer Bill, Oklahoma, +5.5 over Alabama. That's his name, the game, and the spread. Let's light up the text line, 844-326-3663. Tolos, if you're listening to the show, yeah, we're talking to you. We need your upset pick right at this very minute.
So I think at the end of the season, Cole, we're going to need to bring on the winner of this challenge. It's coming. It's going to be Dave Mosley, right? He's whooping everybody. And we're going to need to break down his secret, because I have taken a tact usually of picking a game that's around 7 points. Maybe it's a point or two above. Maybe it's a point or two below. I like to pick home dogs that are +500 teams, right? So they're good enough to win more than they lose. They're a touchdown dog at home against, on paper, a better football team. And my strategy has not worked at all.
No.
My strategy makes a lot of sense, but it's not winning me any games, which I'm still upset about the ending of that Oregon-Iowa game over the weekend. Everything that I thought was going to happen, low scoring, nasty weather, all of that came true, and it was a phenomenal football game right down to the very end. But, man, what a phenomenal finish in that one. So, Tolos, get us your games. Remember, there's still a long way to go in this challenge. Still, I didn't count before we started the segment, still at least like 8 or 9 weeks of games, because we have the remainder of the regular season. We have conference championship game week. We have pre-Christmas bowls. We have post-Christmas bowls. We have first round of the college football playoff picks. So there's still a long way to go in this thing. You don't necessarily need to take one of these giant 20-point spreads, but somebody's got to hit on one of these. Somebody's going to, and it could be you. And then maybe your strategy changes from that point forward. I'm almost at that point, Cole, where I feel like I need to go Hail Mary, because I want to at least get in the top half of this thing. But I am right there on the edge. I think I've got 1.5 points. I am right there on the edge of falling off the leaderboard entirely, while my wife, who doesn't even watch football, is in third freaking place.
It's frustrating. That's why, going back to my point last week, I think you have to pick without looking at the leaderboard. I think the best way to do it, and I'm serious, the best way to do it is just go in every week and say, okay, which one of these do I think? Not like, hey, I'm going to try to chase. Hey, I'm going to try to get on the left side. You've got to just go in and figure out which game you think is going to or has the best probability of hit. Now, it's still a lot of luck involved. It's still very difficult to do.
It's all luck. You what are you talking about?
Well, I'd say it's, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say it's 90% luck and 10% skill. 15, okay, we'll stop there.
I'm reading this text. Okay, Eminem.
Eminem. Percy, are you reading Percy's
text?
Yeah,
I'm reading Percy's text.
Percy says, Cole, what game interests you? Then I'll pick. Percy, where are you at in the standings? Is Percy...
Where is Percy? I'm going to find him.
You find Percy.
Percy's in 10th place.
Wow. So
didn't take long.
Percy, it doesn't matter what you pick. You're already in 10th. It's going to be... You've got a good shot to finish top 10 when the season's all said and done. So, Tolos, if you're out there listening, look, we need you. We need your picks. We really do. 844-326-3663. When this challenge opened in August, it was like the floodgates every single segment of the show. But unfortunately, some of you Tolos get you get down on yourself because you hadn't hit, so you think, oh, I'm not going to play. Well, there's no quitters in this show. We don't quit around here, okay? So Diesel and I, hey, we both suck. We hadn't quit. So you suck. You don't quit. Very simple. 844-326-3663. Get them in. Let's go.
I just beg the question. Did you stop asking girls out on dates because the first four or five told you no?
Right. No. You didn't.
You didn't. You stayed on that horse. You kept going after it, and some of you got a wife.
Here's the deal. I'm not ending this segment until we get 45.
Oh, God.
I'm not doing it. We're filibuster.
Here we go.
We're going to get 45 freaking injuries. If we don't, I promise you, I'm not going to do it. This segment will go on forever until I want 45 in one segment. Let's break this thing open.
Jeff Mack getting in, taking Pittsburgh plus 12.5. Jeff, do us a favor. Resend your pick with the full game. We need the full game. So Jeff Mack, Pittsburgh, plus 12.5 against, well, it's Notre Dame. I know that it's Notre Dame, but make sure you send us the whole game. That helps us avoid any possible confusion because some people will just send in like OU plus something, which could be Oregon, could be Oklahoma. Make sure you send us the full game when you send yours in. G, taking Oklahoma plus 5.5. over Alabama. Let's get Dewey on the line. We're all going to have to ask Dewey how he's doing it because Dewey is in eighth place with 39 points. How are you doing it, Dewey?
Yeah, I just know Miami sucks and Florida State sucks. And
just pick against them?
It's not a bad theory, actually.
Yeah.
It's really not a bad theory.
And those are the teams I picked. And then I went after Leprechaun Lyman, and I won that one, too. So I go after my enemies.
So spite is your secret.
Yes, but I don't think Leprechaun's my enemy. He's just hooly-hoo.
He's just hooly-hoo. What's your pick?
Come on, what's your pick? We need your pick.
So after drinking and thinking, I was going to go with Louisville and Clemson, but the spread is too small, and that's just doesn't make sense to me. I'm swinging for the fences. I heard Shane Beamer talk about new things, so I'm going with South Carolina over Texas A&M. I think it's 18.5 to 19.
That's a big spread.
No, that's not going to hit.
That's a
it's going to hit.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
If it.
Thanks, Dewey. Appreciate you.
That was the worst he ever gave.
That was weak.
Sounded like he was falling asleep when he gave it.
Let's see. Hurricane Jeff says, as usual, Dewey sucks.
He does.
Wow.
He does.
So Dewey saying everything sucks, and then we got Hurricane Jeff saying Dewey sucks. That's interesting. Jeff Mack, there you go. Appreciate you getting your upset pick in all the way. I'm looking at a couple of different games, Cole. Maybe you can help talk me out of a couple of these. I don't know which one yet is going to be my choice. I'm looking at Troy plus 10.5 over Old Dominion. Troy's on a run. They've won four of their last five, and Old Dominion's been a little shaky. I'm also looking at South Florida at Navy plus 9.5 because I just got a feeling with South Florida sort of being that at the moment darling for the playoff spot, there's a chance they might stumble, and Navy's a pretty good football team. They're not bad, so and they're at home. They're home dogs. I'm looking at Arizona plus 6.5 on the road at Cincinnati. Arizona, usually blows teams out. They put up a lot of points, and they've lost a couple of close games. So you just look at that record. It's maybe a little bit deceiving, but the games that they're losing, they're right there in the thick of those games. So I'm looking at Arizona plus 6.5. Plus, I don't trust Scott Satterfield not to get conservative when it really, really matters. And Noah Fifita, he's amazing. And lastly, Cole, I'm looking at Penn State at Michigan State plus 7.5. Both of these teams combined are 0-12 in Big Ten play. Somebody's got to win this game, and Penn State as a program is in shambles. So why not Michigan State getting the win?
Sounds good until they kick off, right? It's like betting. It's a good bet until it kicks off, Diesel. I mean, it's good. All of them are good until they kick off. I'm telling you. You take them all. By the way, G, let us know. I think Gordon and G are the same person. We think so. Let us know if that's the same one. Came from the same number, so we're expecting. Jeff Mack, Hurricane Jeff. Oh, a lot of Tolos now getting in on the text line.
Texter didn't sign his text, and that's probably smart. It says, does he spell his name Dewey, D-E-W-E-Y, or D-U-I?
That's a good point. Good point. Let's go to the phone lines where Dalvin wants to get his upset pick in. What's up, Dalvin?
What's up, guys? Give me Louisiana Tech plus 8.5 over Oregon over Washington State. I saw this Washington State team lose to Oregon State, so that's my pick.
Interesting.
All right, Dalvin, let me ask you this. On another note, Cowboys had a bye last week. They're, what, 3-5-1 now? I mean, is there any hope for our Cowboys, Dalvin?
If we can get, hopefully these new Quinton Williams and Wilson can help our defense out, and you know, anything's possible.
Please don't do this to me, Dalvin. Don't get my hopes up.
Hey, Cole, I'm not trying to get your hopes up, but we got our own out there tomorrow, man. Don't give up on us Cowboys.
Dalvin's cowboy impression or Jerry Jones impression is my favorite thing. Thanks, Dalvin. Let's see. What was Dalvin's again, Diesel? Do you have it written down?
Dalvin took Louisiana Tech over Washington State.
Louisiana Tech, Washington State. Oh, okay. To be honest with you, I still don't know mine. I've got 3 or 4 that I'm looking at. I guess I'm going to do like Percy and just wait until, you know, everybody else. The only time I've actually hit on this thing is when I have waited until Thursday. So maybe Thursday's my lucky day, Diesel. But Tolos, if you just tuned in at 4:11 on this Wednesday afternoon, we need your upset pick. I've already told you, Tolos, just a few minutes ago, I'm not ending the segment. I'm sorry, Jack Veltri, whoever else we have coming up. Sorry. Commercial break. Not doing it. We're not ending the segment until we hit 40. What did I say?
45.
45. I know it's a high number, but you, Tolos, have gotten slack with your entries, and it's really ticked me off, okay? You got to get better at this. Diesel and I get paid for every – I'm kidding. We don't get paid per entry. It's a joke. But we want to see all of you Tolos in the challenge. So,
Cole, would it be a smart move of me to take App State plus 20.5 on the road at James Madison?
No, James Madison's really good.
This is a Hail Mary. It's from the heart, not from the head.
No, don't do that.
They lose this game. App State will have lost to 3 of its key rivals this season.
Yeah, but they're not beating JMU.
They're probably not, but that's why it's 20.5 points.
They're good.
Think about this. They lose this game. App State loses this game. The sentiment on Dowell Loggins gets really dark in his first season.
Yeah, but then again, it's the best team in the conference.
Still, I mean, he will have lost to Coastal, Georgia Southern, James Madison, and with Marshall still to come.
Yeah.
If you go 0-4 against your rivals in the first season, it's hard to recover from that.
It's not good, but I don't think they're going to get rid of him after one year, are they?
You just you get a sense whether somebody is that guy.
I know.
In their first couple of games, in their first season, you kind of figure, okay, there's some really creative and cool plays that they're putting together. Maybe they don't have the players, the personnel for it yet, but I see what he's trying to do. Dowell Loggins, he doesn't seem like some offensive guru yet.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Guy wants to get in. What's up, Guy?
Hey, a couple of things. One, I pulled off the road just so I could do this.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Also,
look at you being safe.
And well, I'm also trying not to get arrested. But one, can we go back to the beginning of the season when you put me on the line for how Dallas was going to do? How am I doing versus that?
What? Remind me. I have. Hey, by the way, two things. Hold on. I've got to go back and make and give you a story in a second about not getting pulled over because of your phone in your hand. So, remind me about that. But what do we say?
At the beginning of the season, you made me predict Dallas's whole season.
Did I?
Yeah, because remember I made a comment about the Dallas Jets game, asking if anybody if that game actually had to be played. But I don't know. I don't remember what I said, because again, I pulled off the road to do that too. But I was just wondering how I was doing versus what you put me on the spot for.
Yeah, I don't remember what you said. Now that you bring that up, I do remember we were doing our preseason predictions. Is what it was. So I do remember.
And I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let me tell you this. Did I think we were going to win the Super Bowl? No, but I have been disappointed. It's been a pretty bad year defensively. Matt Eberflus, I wish he was already fired, guy. Let me tell you this real quick on the phone in your hand thing. Have you seen Diesel as well? Guy, Diesel, Tolos, have you seen the new law where you'll get pulled over if they see you with the phone in your hand? Have you seen that?
I'm aware of it, yes.
It's new, right,
yeah,
Guy?
Yeah.
You've seen that?
Yes, but also understand at work I have to use a scanner. So when I'm passing by with them, and I'm going to get pulled over one way or another, but what the heck, I'll just tell them I'm the one who picks
well,
records
let me
every
tell
week
you this.
Let me go.
Let me tell you. Yeah, tell me, first of all, tell them you're a Tolo. You'll be fine, right? I'm kidding.
Yeah, okay, they'll give themselves a ticket out of shame.
Hey, guys, second of all, that new law, and I don't know how long it's been in effect now, that new law, they're actually enforcing it. Hey, they're enforcing it, Guy. You know why?
Wait, they're getting tickets or what?
Well, let me tell you. Monday night, I pulled out, and it's dark, because you know it gets dark at like 1:30 now, right? I was pulling out of my gas station that's literally the Sphinx right where I live, and I guess I had my phone in my hand. And just so happened, a cop from another car down the road saw my phone. I don't know how. I guess the light.
Colby, how could you do such
a
thing?
He pulled me over. It was the coldest night of the year. I remember it was like 24 degrees, whatever, Monday. So he pulls me over. I've got the window down. It's freezing cold. And he says, hey, I saw your phone in your hand. It's this new law. Went into effect, blah, blah, blah. Goes to the car. I give him license insurance. Comes back and says, hey, we can't. To your point, Guy, it's a grace period. We can't write tickets yet, so I have to give you an education on this. And I'm sitting there thinking, it
was
is
that a baton
27
upside the head?
Degrees. Could you not pick another night to educate me on not having my phone in my hand? Send me a video to watch or something.
God.
So, y'all, I'm not kidding. Diesel, Guy, for 3 minutes and 27-degree weather, I got a lecture from the very nice officer who I hope's not listening, because if you are, I love you and appreciate the warning. But I'm like, can we do this another? It is 27 degrees. So for all the Tolos out there, here's my message to you. Don't have your phone in your hand because they're enforcing it.
Wow. I didn't know South Carolina State Patrol enforced anything.
Yeah. Believe it or not. Can you believe that, Guy?
Well, yeah, but if you're on your phone going through a red light, you'll probably get away.
There you go.
got him.
You didn't by any chance have like a Dallas Cowboys bumper sticker on the back of your car, did you?
No, Guy. Are you
no,
a cop?
Says,
Are you
says,
a cop, Guy?
Cowboy butts drive me nuts.
Are you the one that pulled me over, Guy?
No, but while you're at it, imagine the officer having to do that all night when it's 24 degrees.
Well, let me tell you something, Guy. Hey, here's a news flash. If you're not writing tickets, don't pull people over. I'm not getting out in 27-degree weather to educate somebody on holding their phone while they're driving.
But he took your license, you said.
Yeah, he did.
So you're on record
for
the next time.
Oh, that's true. That's
Texter is calling you out here, Cole. Texter says, Cole, I was riding next to you after the Carolina-Bama game on 26, and I know for a fact you
okay,
stay
that's
on
not
your
true.
Phone
There's
while
just
driving.
No way that who
officers,
is that?
Officers, he is at 25 Garlington Road in Greenville.
Who is
Come
that,
and get
Diesel?
His ass.
Who
I don't know.
Did they put the name?
They didn't put a name on it.
There's no way. There's no way that. First of all, you don't know that you were. That's not true. Thanks for the call, Guy.
Thanks, Guy.
That texter.
Oh, Guy, you got to get your.
Oh, sorry,
in.
Guy.
Sorry. Thank you.
We got sidetracked.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Iowa plus 6 over the USC.
Okay.
Oh, I like it.
I like it. Good
Thanks,
pick, guy. Thanks, man.
That is, for the record, that 803, he's lying. He, she, you did not. No, nobody rode next to me the whole time on 26 for the Carolina-Bama game. That.
He called you out. He called you
out. What did he say?
He said you were driving a specific vehicle. A specific vehicle.
All right. Time to get a break.
Cole, you haven't made your upset pick yet.
I'm not going to.
Another Tolo said, Cole, if you make your pick, you only need 44 picks.
That's true. I'm going to get mine in at some point, either today or tomorrow. I really, like all my strategies, I don't know what to do. I've tried everything, and I can't get one to hit. I think I'm going to go low this week, so I will get my upset pick in very, very soon, Diesel. I promise.
When we come back, let's talk South Carolina as they go on the road to face Texas A&M. A couple of Tolos are picking that game. Let's get Jack's thoughts on it when we come back on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the season, whether or not it's a complete and total waste, hangs by a thread, Cole. 3 games left. South Carolina's got to win them all to make a bowl. To talk about it and their chances to maybe shock the world on the road at Texas A&M this weekend, we talked to Jack Veltri of Gamecock Central. Jack, would you say that my characterization of the season is accurate? Would you say that whether or not it's a total failure hangs by a thread right now?
I would say so, guys. And thanks for having me on, as always. Yeah, I would say so. If they don't make a bowl game, I think that's an automatic failure right there. Don't care what you do the rest of the season against Coastal Carolina and Clemson. Wins in those games only gets you to 5 wins. And, you know, I know a lot of people care about the Clemson game around here. And I think that lightens the word failure a little bit. But in my opinion, you don't make a bowl game after what you did last season, beating Clemson or not, it's a failure in basically every respect.
Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central. Jack normally joins us on Tuesdays, but with yesterday being Veterans Day, gracious enough to join us on this Wednesday. Jack, when you look at this matchup, man, Texas A&M, I mean, you're talking about one of the best teams in the country, and unfortunately, it seems like the Gamecocks have played one of the better teams in the country for 5 weeks now. Do you think the Gamecocks have learned anything in this 5-game stretch against really quality opponents that can help them be a little bit better against another really good team in A&M on Saturday?
I think the one thing, Cole, that they probably have learned is that they're, like, it's going to sound crazy, but they're not that far off from, I think, being in the middle and winning some of these games. Here's the reason I say that. A lot of these games that South Carolina lost in this stretch, you look at it, they're right in it going into the fourth quarter. I mean, for all the criticism that Shane Beamer's gotten about the season, one thing he has not been wrong about is the fact that they're in the middle of these games going into the final 15 minutes. The problem is they just can't finish. They get in their own way, or they just don't play well to end the game. And that's what's kind of holding them back from making a bowl game right now, is they had a 2-point lead at Missouri in the fourth quarter. They were only down by a touchdown to LSU. They were, you know, up going into the fourth quarter against Alabama. Like, they have had a lot of chances to win games. The problem is they just cannot finish for the life of them. And that's something that I think will kind of get figured out in these final 3 games. Of course, that's why you made a change with the play caller to have Mike Furry call plays in hopes that the offense can finally get it going now that Mike Shula is no longer calling plays. But easier said than done.
So, Jack, now that the Gamecocks have had a week off leading into this A&M game, what are you hearing out of practice? What do you think? Is it a new look offense, or is it more of a back to the basics, get back to trying to figure out what we're good at as an offense?
So what we've heard from the players in Beamer, and as well as just the vibe overall, is that Mike Furry brings a different energy to the offense, in that he's just a guy that is a very energetic person. And I've seen him a few times at practice back in fall camp and even at the Citrus Bowl last year. This guy is a different animal. And I think that will hopefully rub off on these players, in the way that he's just going about his business, trying to, he's very much like Sean Elliott in a lot of ways, I would say. So I think that's the main thing, but they're also tweaking the playbook a little bit, is what Shane Beamer had to say earlier this week on Tuesday. And what that will look like is to be determined on Saturday. We'll know more once we're there, seeing the team play in person. But it seems like they're definitely committed to trying their best to salvage the season, and that does start with trying to fix what you can with this offense.
Jack, it's interesting. I want to get your thoughts on Mike Furry. There was an interesting statement made in Shane Beamer's presser yesterday, and we're going to get to some audio from Shane Beamer a little bit later in the show, but I don't know who it was. Somebody asked Beamer if he would rule out, maybe it was you, maybe it was somebody else, rule out Furry being the OC going forward. And look, I want to hear your thoughts, but I think we're too far past that, in my opinion, just in terms of Beamer's seat being a little too hot for him to make another maybe it works kind of move. What are your thoughts on, even if Mike Furry does well down the stretch, him potentially being the new OC?
So I was the one to ask him that question about, basically my question was, what would it take for Mike Furry to really be considered in this OC hiring process? Because let's be honest, guys, as of right now, I would probably wager to guess they're going to go outside the building to go find their next offensive coordinator, whether it's a guy with NFL experience, whether it's a college guy, wherever you want to look, I think they're ultimately going to go outside the building. That said, it is worth asking the question, what happens essentially if Mike Furry does really well in these final three games and the offense looks like a complete 180 compared to everything that happened earlier this season under Mike Shula? It's a fair question to ask, and basically what Shane said, he's open to anything. He wouldn't rule anything out as far as what his decision-making will be in this process. My thing is, though, I don't know if you're Shane Beamer, I don't know if you can hinge everything going into next year on, like, this OC hire is so important, guys. Like, South Carolina has to get this thing right in order to turn things around. Shane's going to be the coach here going into next season. If this does not work out, this OC hire does not go well, I wonder how much longer Shane would last in Columbia if things are kind of like this next year, right? I think you could realistically start talking about, is South Carolina going to look at firing him? And a lot of that may come down to what this OC hire looks like. And I don't know if you can necessarily put it all on, let's go ahead and hire from within and just promote Mike Furry. He would have to look, this offense would have to look incredible over these final 3 weeks, I think, for that to actually be seriously considered.
Well, Jack, for what it's worth, I've had a toll load Nick Steady in my inbox now for 2 weeks, at least 3 weeks, wanting Dowell Loggins back. And as far as I'm concerned, as an App State fan, you can have him. we've discussed that already. It's not going to happen. And somebody who's just achieved their first head coaching position is not going to give that up to run right back to where he was prior to getting that job. There's been a lot of talk, and it's just silly internet buzz at this point, about Lenora Sellers transferring after the season. I've seen so many people, Magic 8-Ball predicting Lenora Sellers is going to Miami. Could be absolutely nothing, but I guarantee Shane Beamer has heard it, or at least he's thought about it. But if you were Lenora Sellers and the draft grade is not where you want it to be, do you trust Shane Beamer enough to hire an OC to help you finish your career strong in Columbia?
I do believe he's going to make the right decision hiring an OC. There's so much on the line with this hire, right? Like I said before, I mean, his job could very well be on the line if this hire does not go well, because I think we're going to see South Carolina really go all in to make sure this is the right hire. You pay whoever it is what you need to pay him to bring that guy in, whoever it will be, pro, college, whatever coordinator, you're going to do your best to make it happen. And I'm going to be interested to see, you mentioned Sellers, I'm going to be interested to see, because he's got some time to make a decision after the season ends, because the portal doesn't open up until January 2nd, and then in mid-January, he'll have to make a decision on what he's doing with the NFL draft. I would be very interested to see if he does explore either of those opportunities. I feel like the best decision for him is just to come back. I think, depending on who they hire as an offensive coordinator, could be the ultimate difference maker in that. I think South Carolina is going to be quick and efficient with trying to get this hire done because of that decision right there. What is Lenore Sellers doing next year? I don't think he's going to be sitting here waiting around all day for South Carolina to make a decision on who they're hiring. So I think they're going to be quick and efficient and try to get the right guy in there. And that may ultimately be enough to sway a guy like Sellers, who came back to South Carolina last year when I'm sure he had offers right and left from other schools around the country, to come back and stay loyal to his home state school.
Jack, would you predict that South Carolina makes this hire, gets the guy in place before January 2nd when the portal window opens?
Has to. It's not even so much in my opinion there. I think it's more so like they have to get that thing figured out before then. I mean, you would have it if the season ended after the Clemson game. You have over an entire month to get a hire figured out. And if you really, if we're sitting here, I'm talking to you guys, January, whatever, you know, late December, and they still haven't made a hire, I'll be stunned. I will be stunned if they don't make a hire by then.
Jack, what does Marcel do? What does Marcel Reed do when it comes to striking fear in this defense for South Carolina when you look at Saturday's matchup?
He's very much like Sellers in a lot of respects, of a guy that can beat you with his arm and legs. I think I was talking to somebody earlier about this. I think the best way to look at it is Marcel Reed is having the season that I think we all thought Lenore Sellers would have. Look at his passing numbers. Really good. Does not turn the ball over a ton. He's only been sacked 7 times this season, and he's also rushing the ball pretty effectively with nearly 400 yards and I think 6 touchdowns. So, like I said, having a really good year. The type of year as a dual threat quarterback that you would have thought Sellers would be having, and that has just not happened at all for Lenore's, but this is about Marcel. He has kind of been a huge part of why A&M is having the success that they're having. I think they've got it all figured out to where they've got the right pieces in place. They've got the quarterback. They've got a good run game. They have two of the best receivers in the SEC, if not the country. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how South Carolina approaches it this weekend, because they face a guy like Sellers every day in practice, but how does that translate over into games will be the question of, can you stop a guy like Reed?
Jack, you know, it's easy to look at some of the big names on the team, Lenore Sellers, Nick Harbor, DQ Smith, guys like them, and say maybe some of them aren't exactly having the season that they would like to have. Is there a name or two on this roster that you think has actually had a much better season than you mentally projected before it started?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Nick Harbor has been, I think, about what I hope for him. I think you would like to see a little bit more out of him. But at this point in the season, guys, he's your leading receiver, and he's making the most of his opportunities when they're there. Has he missed out on a few passes that he should have caught? Yes, I think so. But overall, I think he's done a nice job this season. I think he's someone that has definitely made progress. Another guy that maybe not necessarily in the tight end room has made a ton of impact this year, but I really do like what Maurice Brown has done this season. I asked Joe DiCamillo, South Carolina's special teams coordinator, earlier today about who those guys are that he feels like has made a real big impact on special teams. And he said Mo Brown right off the bat. And if there were a special teams player of the year in the SEC, Joe D said that Bo Brown would probably be heavily considered for it. So he's made a ton of plays on special teams this year, and I think that kind of flies under the radar, but definitely another guy that I feel like has made a nice jump this year.
When you look at A&M, we talked about Marcel Reed, over 2,000 yards, 2,193 yards, 19 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, only been sacked 7 times. In your mind, what else, you know, we talk about the other guys a lot. Who are the other guys that you think for A&M could give South Carolina a little bit of a fit on Saturday?
I think you got to look at, you know, this run game. I mean, definitely got to look at the run game with Le'Veon Moss being back this year. Definitely Casey Concepcion is another guy. And I'm trying to remember I'm pulling up the numbers here to get the other receiver's name right. Craver.
Yeah.
Has another
Mario.
Yes, Mario Craver. Two really, really good players. But how about Cassius Howell? I mean, this guy is going to be really, really tough for South Carolina's offensive line to defend this weekend coming off the edge. Guys, 10.5 sacks this year with 21 tackles for Howell. Really, really staggering numbers. Like Kyle Kinnard-level numbers. So that's someone that I think South Carolina is definitely going to have to keep a big eye on this weekend coming off the edge. But, yeah, those would probably be the guys I would say are going to be really intriguing to watch.
Jack, we opened with this, and I know that you're on the you're obviously on the South Carolina beat, but what have been your general opinions on LSU trying to wiggle out of paying Brian Kelly and trying to argue that it was a for-cause firing?
I mean, what is the cause? That, you know, I don't get this one. I don't see it going in LSU's favor. What argument do they have? Like, this is the buyout that they agreed to. This is what they were going to pay him. And the fact of the matter is, Kelly just did not meet the expectations. It's not like you can say what you will about some of the things that have gone on at LSU and what you hear and all that. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if this is based on his performance, it just wasn't good enough. And, you know, I think he should be paid what he's owed. I mean, if LSU does not have leverage in this. There's no argument to be made, in my opinion. And LSU needs to just pay him what I understand why Kelly's not settling for the reported $25, $30 million when he clearly can be getting a lot more.
Well, Cole said, you know, how much worse, you know, worst case scenario, they got to pay him the $54 million. And I said, no, worst case scenario is they got to pay him $54, and then they've got to pay probably a couple million dollars to a lawyer. And then Brian Kelly sues them for defamation by trying to put some sort of bogus for cause tag on his resume, which may not get him hired somewhere else in the future, and then they might have to pay him damages after that. It could get really bad, really bad for LSU.
It could. It could get really bad. And I just don't think, when you look at the whole coaching carousel and what jobs are open, I know LSU is going to be a desirable job just off the name alone and the history there, but I'm going to be honest, guys. You look at the inner workings of what's going on there and this whole potential lawsuit that we have coming with BK and LSU and the fact that they have a new AD, a new president. I mean, a lot of things are going on there, and I just don't know. Take out the name LSU, and this is probably the least desirable job right now. But
that's a good point.
Because of LSU, it's going to be very desirable.
Jack, my last question for you. Your thoughts on Beamer's pushback to the media yesterday about the hires he's made at offensive coordinator and getting the hires wrong. He was very quick to push back on that. Your thoughts?
I'm not surprised that he's defending it. I mean, it's, you know, I get it because there were some good things that that his coordinators did in the past. I mean, he's not wrong. Marcus Satterfield, whether he was calling plays or not in that Tennessee game, South Carolina did score 63 points with him as the offensive coordinator. You look at Dow Loggins, he did some very good things. Now, here's the main thing that Beamer brought up yesterday. Were these guys consistent enough? No. And I think that's the problem, is that not enough consistency. And in the case of Mike Shula this year, the only thing consistent about this offense was that it was just bad. So you got to kind of figure out how you're going to be better moving forward. But, I mean, I get why he's defending his hires and whatnot, but the fact of the matter is he has leaned a lot into guys with NFL experience and hasn't really gotten a guy that is just a true college offensive coordinator. That has not been the case so far with these first three hires, and I do wonder if that's the case with this one.
Jack, we can't say thank you enough for your time every single week, and you know, good luck this weekend calling the game. Are you headed to Texas A&M, or are you staying and watching on TV?
I will be there in Texas covering that game, so looking forward to it.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Jack Veltri, Gamecock Central, really good stuff there. Again, you normally hear him on Tuesdays, but with us being off yesterday, you did hear him today. Tolos, before this next segment, I want 10 upset pick entries before we start the very next segment. 844-FAN-PHONE, that's 844-326-3663. Diesel and I need your name, the game, and the spread. I do want to shout out and make sure he gets it in right next time, Diesel, in the very last segment. I did see Kevin get his upset pick in. I just wanted to make sure he got the formatting right there. He says, I'm taking App State to win. D-Lo can't keep losing, breaking the streak this week. Kevin, just make sure on your future text we need your name, the game, and the spread from Kevin Ramsey. Also see Young Gravy Nuts, Kane, Brandon and Spartanburg, Clemson 83. Why are you laughing?
How can you keep a straight face when you text
it? It is wild. Dustin M., Mickey G., keep them coming. I want 10 before we start the next segment, Diesel. I want 10. Simple as that. Do you know your role? I think this viral sensation of knowing your role for an upcoming holiday has got me maybe in the best spot I've ever been in terms of knowing your role.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The audio for you next. Well, you know, Diesel, we see, I'm not sure why that's playing. Let me pull that down. Did I hit the wrong? Whoa. No, it's an Ingles Market studio. Yes, we're live at the Ingles Market. Let's see if it keeps playing. No, it stopped. All right. All right, then. Anyways, that'll throw you for a loop. You know, in sports, we talk about knowing your role, right? You've got to know your role. Basketball, football, whatever it is, you got to know your role. Basketball players, if you're a point guard, you got to, you know your role, especially on the football field as well. It's important. If you want to succeed, you got to know your role. It's a cliche. You hear coaches talk about it all the time, but it's true, right?
Well, it's the Rock's tagline, know your role and shut your mouth.
That's right. You've got to know your role. And with Thanksgiving looming in the near future, Diesel, I am team... Let me find this comedian's name here. I never heard of him until today when I saw this video. But now all of a sudden, I am a big fan of Jalen Hinton because he goes on to talk about knowing your role. And Diesel, when it's sports, you got to know your role if you want to be successful. But also, with Thanksgiving around the corner, if you want to have a successful Thanksgiving, according to Jalen Hinton, you also have to know your role for that too.
They need to play their role at Thanksgiving. Just play your role. Somebody got to be the point guard, two guard, three, four. Somebody got to play center. Everybody can't start. Some of y'all is on the bench. And you're trying to do what starters do. You can't. Okay, if you know your job is to bring the plastic utensils, paper cups, paper plates, cases of soda, juice, and water, tea, do that. You do that real good. Don't nobody do that like you. You can't be like grandmama and them bringing all the main dishes. That raisin casserole might have to wait. It might have to wait. Play your role. That's all I'm saying. Just play your role, man. Everybody has a role to play when it comes to Thanksgiving. If you know you can't cook like that, stop trying to bring stuff that you just stop. Just stop. Everybody play your role this year. Thanksgiving will go a whole lot smoother. Everybody just play your role.
Have truer words ever been spoken? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. The raisin casserole, Diesel, that can wait. You know what kills me is somebody always, oh, I tried this. No rest. No.
Don't do it.
Know your role on Thanksgiving. I love that audio.
Uh-huh.
I think my man Jalen hit the nail on the head there. If you want to have a good Thanksgiving, you got to know your role. Maybe that's a hard conversation, but it's true, right?
You know what my role is, and I'm good at this, bring the booze. Bring the booze.
See, there you
and
go.
Mix up some cocktails.
That, you know
that's,
your
that's
role.
That's what I know I'm good at.
You're not making sweet potato souffle.
No.
You're
my
not,
dad
you know.
Smokes the turkey.
There you go.
My sister makes the deviled eggs.
Yeah.
She also makes the chipped beef big old cheese ball.
Yes.
And my wife's been messing around. She's like, I think I'm going to bring a charcuterie tray this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no. Don't you do that. Like, number one, I think a charcuterie tray is delicious. I love charcuterie trays. But when you got the sister that's been making that chipped beef cheese ball for like the last 15 years.
You don't want to cause something.
You're going to cause something.
That's true.
And you don't want that smoke.
That's a good point.
You don't want that smoke.
The charcuterie board can wait until Christmas, F you, Ashley. Wait until Christmas. Wait. Just wait, please.
Speaking of which, I misspoke earlier. I said she was in third place. She's actually in fourth.
Oh,
so
thanks.
She's right there.
Thanks.
She's right there. She took the same game as me last week, Cole, watching that Iowa game versus Oregon. She's like, this is why I don't watch football. It's so stressful. I don't like this. I don't like this. And then she starts throwing out football vocabulary words.
Wow.
I'm like, I got her hooked.
You got her.
I got a little hook. She's coming in. When we come back, Cole, I haven't got a chance to react to this on these airwaves. You probably did on Monday, but oof, ugly loss for the Carolina Panthers against the New Orleans Saints. Where do they go from here? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.